Katie and I actually saw the movie together, and on Friday night, opening night, and we just made a decision not to talk about it after the movie because we were going to save all our, we're saving all our love
for you
for this, a love or hate of the movie, as the case may be.
Now our listeners understand our methodology, which is this artificial go to the movies, don't talk about it, wait till we have a recording session, then talk about it. It's so natural, really.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Blue.
And you're listening to
Katie and Blue Go to the Movies.
So this week we saw two movies.
One of them was the new Pixar movie Up. And the other one was the movie Away We Go, directed by Sam Mendes, written by Dave Eggers and his wife.
Videla Vida. Dave Eggers, he's not a screenplay writer, though. He's mainly novelist, short story writer.
Right. Yes. I have very mixed feelings about Dave Eggers.
Why?
I don't like him very much.
That's not mixed. That's
just feelings. But I don't know why I feel that way so strongly.
Did you read that heartbreaking book of genius?
I did. And I liked parts of it and really kind of found parts of it really annoying.
I haven't read anything he wrote. Did you think this screenplay felt Dave Eggers-like?
A little bit, but not terribly.
Yeah.
But why don't we just, you know, talk about the movie?
What is it now? 3 days since I saw Away We Go? It's fading in my mind, I gotta say. It's not sticking with any glue of meaningfulness, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to like it more than I did, and, you know, it was a little bit of a trifle.
I agree.
Maybe we should say a little bit about what the film is about.
Yeah. So the film is written by a husband and wife team, and it's about a couple in their mid-30s who are living in some remote town, and they live there because it's near where his parents live. And they basically have, like, no other really family that they're close to anywhere in the world. And her parents have died. And she's pregnant. And his parents, who they live near, have decided to move away. And so the couple decides they're going to drive around the country to visit all their friends and relatives and sort of try to find a place to live that they can call home.
And raise their baby.
And raise their child. And yeah. It's sort of like a comedy and sort of not...
I mean, I think it's trying to be, it's like an indie romantic comedy romp, picaresque.
Yeah.
But it's not, but then it, I don't know.
It's not funny.
It's not very funny. It's kind of straight.
I feel like it's trying to be quirky at all times.
Right. It's trying to be like Flirting with Disaster a little bit. Like, I think it is maybe trying to be a little bit more screwball, like Flirting with Disaster. Mm-hmm. But it's not screwball enough to be screwball. It ends up just being weird.
Yeah.
This is the plight of these kind of movies. Where they have like lots of quirky characters in a realist story that doesn't have anything too momentous going on. Like it's kind of banal circumstances, a little bit like that Little Miss Sunshine. These are my problems with Little Miss Sunshine. Like mm-hmm. It's sort of like a flimsy little structure, but it's supposed to be a little bit like madcap and sweet. Mm-hmm. But instead I just was like, this is so phony. That was mm-hmm. my feeling mm-hmm. with Little Miss Sunshine. Mm-hmm. So it's not as bad as Little Miss Sunshine, I don't think.
Oh, I like Little Miss Sunshine much better than Away We Go.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, go on.
But do you know what I mean about like the genre problem?
Yes, I do.
Like particularly like Allison Janney, who's like a gem. She's freaking amazing. And she played this like totally out there, freaky, quirky character in a way that was just like kind of overdrawn and not that enjoyable to watch. I mean, I liked it for a little while. And then by the end of the movie, I was like... Did I really need to see that?
Yeah, this is what I feel about the movie that's related to what you're saying about Allison Janney. Is that so basically they go visit one person after another. It's like ex-coworker, cousin type person, like this sort of distant friend, this sort of distant relative. And each place they go, like they find these people that are like kind of crazy and off the wall. And I felt like those people that they found are like caricatures. They're not real people you would know. Like why... Would they know that Allison Janney, I mean, she's so off the wall.
Right.
That character.
And then the Maggie Gyllenhaal character.
And the Maggie Gyllenhaal character, who's this really super hippie, fruity, super hippie. But like, they make so much fun of her. They make her so horrible and unlikable that it's almost like taking the things that she believes in, some of which are perfectly reasonable to believe in, like having a home birth or, you know, whatever, like hippie ideas she might have. And they make it seem ridiculous, too, because she's so ridiculous. It's almost like I felt like they were making fun of, like, all the people they meet along the way. And by doing that, it makes the main characters seem better.
That's what Tony Scott said in the New York Times, was that it ends up being kind of self... congratulatory. Right. Like, our heroes are like really normal and great and sensible and have all this like common sense and like good values just naturally. But everywhere they go, they just encounter people who are just like too off the wall. And why can't they meet normal people like themselves? And I actually feel like the plot of it was almost like the Three Little Bears. What is that called? Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Is that the name of that story? Yes. Like, you know, Goldilocks, like... Let me go back over the plot of Goldilocks. The Goldilocks goes and is like, She sits in Papa Bear's chair and Mama Bear's chair, and they're not right. So that's like kind of what they did. Like, they visit all these different parenting styles of these different bears, just to extend the metaphor. And all of the parenting styles are not their parenting style, and they don't like it. And they're all like, why can't we find somebody who's like us?
Right.
And it was just kind of like...
And why don't they have any friends? Why, if they're so terrific, why do they have no friends?
Yeah.
Anywhere in the country. Like, I don't understand.
Right.
They're 34 years old. I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird.
Yeah, I know.
It seemed to me like an idea somebody came up with. Like, let's do that. Let's make this movie about these people who go do these things. But the things don't add up.
It's also, I felt like it broke another, you know, like, so there are all these things people say about movies that I disagree with. Like, people say all the time, like, there has to be conflict. Like, where's the conflict when you're talking about making a movie? And then I'm always like, why does it always have to be conflict? And yet, I felt in this movie... there wasn't any conflict. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no conflict with the couple at all.
Mm-hmm.
The conflict, I guess, if you were to, is between them and all the weirdos they're encountering. But there was a way in which you kind of, like, I wanted more dramatic.
Right. The only conflict was, like, whether she was going to be too fat after having a baby or not.
Or whether her boobs were going to sag, right? Was that the thing? What was the boob thing? I didn't even get the boob thing.
Yeah, like, was her boobs going to become, like, deflated after she gives birth?
The thing is, I don't want to... This is the problem with this whole show, Katie and Blue Go to the Movies. I don't want to say bad things about this movie because I think more movies like this should get made. Like, nice, small movies about regular people doing regular things. There's no car chase. Nobody's an alien. Nobody shoots anybody. There's no Quentin Tarantino. You know, like, these are good kinds of movies. But somehow it was just a little like, meh.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it was no... I love, you know, like, in that genre, if the best movie in this kind of genre of just like kind of a small study of a family or people is You Can Count on Me, the best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wishing there were more movies like You Can Count on Me, but I think what we've learned is it's hard to make that movie really good.
Yeah.
Because people keep trying to make movies kind of like that, and it's just not as good.
I keep being bored.
Yeah, I was a little bored.
When I go to movies like that, and I feel like that one bored me.
It also had no philosophy behind it. Like, there was no...
Point. Yes.
It did not answer that key question.
What's the point? Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
Maybe that should be the theme of our show. Does it fulfill the Katie and Blue Go to the Movies question? Like,
Show in general or this episode of our show?
Our show in general. I'm just thinking.
Okay. Well, we can add that to our show in general.
Yes. Listeners, please call in. Call my home phone.
Okay.
Tell me.
And so that's a nice segue to Up, the Pixar movie, which...
So did you like Up?
I did. I really did. This is the thing, listeners. If you haven't already heard this, I don't think I've said this before on Katie and Blue Go to the Movies.
Oh, my God.
But Ratatouille. If you would stop talking, I can make my point.
Okay, good.
Ratatouille, which is a recent Pixar movie, a couple years old, was just like my favorite movie of that year, probably. And one of my favorite movies, really.
Blue and I, last summer, actually rented Ratatouille and made Ratatouille.
Because Katie hadn't watched it. I needed her to see it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love Ratatouille. I feel like it's just got the biggest heart.
Big heart.
It's such a good story.
Yeah.
It's really cool visuals.
Cool characters.
Really cool characters, but such beautiful visuals.
Yes, let's rent it right now.
No, there's nothing better than it.
I know.
And so forever, I'm hoping that the next movie is going to be as good. And certainly WALL-E, not as good. I mean, WALL-E has its moments, but I'm not really that into WALL-E.
Yeah.
So this one, Up. Right. I feel like, again, it doesn't meet my Ratatouille test. You know, it doesn't come to the Ratatouille level by any stretch of the imagination. But I did really like certain things about it. And then there were things about it that I didn't like that much. But I really loved the whole beginning. Everybody talks about that montage scene with the wife, the whole life story of him and his wife. I loved that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tell the audience what the movie's about, Katie.
Okay. So Up, for those of you who don't know, it's an elderly widower who's just lost his wife. And the beginning of, I'm not giving anything away because that's all established in the first like 7 minutes of the movie. The whole beginning of the movie, there's a montage of this man's whole life from when he's a little boy. And then the movie starts. And the montage is all done just really with images, with very little dialogue at all. And it's just a very beautiful example of animation. And what's cool about it is it's a story about changing your life, but with an octogenarian as the protagonist, which you would not think would be like the best recipe for a kids movie, but there you go, Pixar breaking the rules.
Yeah, I love that about it.
Yeah, I love that about it too. And the way they did the animation of his elderliness was awesome, like the kind of like wrinkles in his face, and he's also a grouch.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about a grouch who thinks, you know, hasn't had any adventure and isn't going to have any adventure, like figuring out mm-hmm. that he can't have adventure and like making it happen. It's very inspiring.
Right. Yeah, so basically there's a magical realism element because it's mm-hmm. animation, which is that old gentleman Carl attaches thousands of balloons to his house so he can fly it to Venezuela to go to a place he always wanted to go to with his wife called Paradise Falls. And he ends up taking a little boy with him. I won't belabor the plot device that gets a little boy on the plane / ballooning house. But so he's got this companion, the little boy. And so they go on this big adventure. So it ends up being an intergenerational bonding story.
Yeah, it's a bromance. It's between an 80-year-old man and a...
It's an intergenerational bromance. Boy. In the tradition of Waterboy. No. What's the Adam Sandler movie? Big Daddy?
Yes.
It's a bromance in the tradition of Big Daddy.
I like that you thought it was Waterboy.
I get my Adam Sandler movies mixed up.
Yeah.
No.
And then they pick up some more friends along the way in the form of a talking dog.
Well, yeah, that was, I think, one of the most inspired things about the film is that when they come to this crazy place, this magical place in Venezuela, basically, they're surrounded by a bunch of dogs who have talking dog collars that their crazy master has attached, that is basically, they interpret their dogginess through these dog collars.
Which makes no sense, but it's hilarious.
It makes no sense, but it's hilarious. And it's been like a really quiet movie, and all of a sudden they encounter the dogs, and there's all these like talking dogs, so it's like really cacophonous in the movie theater. I was like laughing so hard, I thought I was going to fall off my chair. The other thing that I thought was as inspired as the talking dog collars was they did this amazing thing with the animation where the house with the colored balloons, every time it went across something, the light would come through the balloons and it would shed this like rainbow colors
so cool.
on everything they went. It was just so cool looking. It was so magical. That yeah. was amazing.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, for those of you who are not understanding, it's like he blows up like 1,000 helium balloons and ties them to the inside of his house through his chimney and then lets them go. And the balloons pick up the house with the helium and carry the house. I love that one thing. It really sticks in my mind where the balloons go past the big glass window of this little girl's room.
Yeah, that's a
and
great
the,
scene.
And the colors all are all over her floor. And she's just like looking around trying to figure out what it could be and
yeah, it's
dancing
just like
around.
It's like 2 seconds. And there were a lot of things. There's like a 2 second shot. And there's such a little girl going like, wow, there's colors in my room. And then she turns around and she doesn't even see it.
So cool what they can do with cool. animation. I mean, I find it like worth seeing these movies just purely
Totally.
I can't believe this is real.
Yeah.
Really being animated, you know?
Yeah, anyway. No, that was...
But, what did you think overall? I mean...
It did an amazing thing because it starts out with what Hollywood, I think, defines as a downer. Like, official downer. Downer, you know...
Right, like
downer
lifelong...
to the max. You know, it starts out with, like, a silent description of, like, a man growing old and getting miserable. And that's, like... the cold open, like the opposite of a James Bond opening or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. it just leaves you like, okay, now I want to cry in the first 10 minutes. And then it manages to go from this real downer place to a place of like life begins again
mm-hmm.
about somebody who's 85 for kids. I mean, I felt like I was like, good for them for like picking a challenge. You know?
I agree.
I mean, I think also think they do a good job of being uplifting without being cloying, mm-hmm. corny.
Mm-hmm. I didn't actually think it was that uplifting. I mean, I guess it had a happy ending and everything. But that was kind of a dark movie.
Well, compared to WALL-E, it wasn't dark. That was dark as shit, WALL-E.
That's true. Or, but I wasn't comparing it to WALL-E. I was just saying it was a dark movie.
Oh, I didn't think it was that dark.
I thought it was really sad. Like, he was a sad guy for, like, a lot of the movie. And then at the end, he finally, like, realizes that this kid is, like, part of his life. And he loves this kid and needs to save this kid. And the dog dog. And
well, I guess it's true. It has part of what makes it not just your typical kind of, like, cutesy pie Disney movie is that, you know, he is a grouch.
Yeah. And he gets less so.
But. It's as if you were to make Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and have Grumpy be like a primary character as opposed to a secondary character. You know, like, let's spin off a special just about Grumpy. have
Snow White show. 2.
Yeah, right. Colon. Grumpy grows old.
Grumpy.
He's still a dwarf. He's lonely. But wait, there was something else I was going to say. Shit. What was it? Up.
Did it meet your Ratatouille test?
It wasn't as good as Ratatouille, I agree.
But I do think, I mean, Ratatouille is just incredibly motivating. Like, it just makes you feel like no matter what you try to do, you can do it. Because a like rat Obama. Can be a chef. Yes. A
it Ratatouille has the same effect.
It's like Obama. Exactly. Up felt more like... I'm trying to think of what's...
Bill Clinton before we were disillusioned with
him? No. Friday Night Lights? I mean, it's just, it's a slightly milder high. But
oh
it's
my
not,
God. It's nowhere near as good as Friday Night Lights.
Well, it's not as good. I'm trying to think of the emotional feeling you have after a Friday Night Lights episode.
I think it's
similar to Up, because Friday Night Lights has a similar theme of like, life sucks and we're still poor kids in Texas, but at least we have football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like, yeah, I'm an old man and my wife died, but I do have a dog and a boy to play with. Okay, well, until next time.
Yes, until next time, audience.
I'm Katie.
I'm Blue.
And thank you for listening to
Katie and Blue Go to the Movies.